Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Significant change that our citizens will see is we will be closing the east-west thoroughfare of Main Street about one hour before the parade. That has traditionally stayed open, and it will again stay open during the hours leading up to the parade, but that will close 1 hour before. That's one of those discussions that has been happening in these buildings for quite a while now. If you have ever been down there during the Saturday parade on Main Street, and you see the volume of people that are on both sides, all four corners of Palo Fox and Main, with traffic still continuing to flow, with parade floats coming around and coming out on Main Street, it's pretty significant. And I think you could probably see why that's a major concern for us.
Yeah, the mayor yesterday in his press conference announcing several changes to the way security or more access is handled for the parade coming up, not this weekend, of course, but next weekend. This weekend you have Navarre. And the last weekend in Milton, and then the following weekend, you have the Palo Fox parades, the Friday night and the Saturday parade. But that the perimeter around which you will have around the parade is being changed substantially. You have Main is going to be closed. And not just when I first heard him say this, I thought, oh, well, you just won't be able to get across like Main at Palo Fox right there at that little intersection. And there's all kinds of, you know, there's little workarounds that you can do. You know, if you still need to go east to west, you can just drop down a street and kind of go around the bottom of it. No. No. What they're actually talking about, based on the map they were showing, is that everything basically from Community Maritime Park all the way over to where Bayfront goes up to Romana, so Admiral Mason Park, the Memorial Park, Veterans Memorial Park, that whole stretch of Main will be closed. So it's not like you can just kind of go west until you get to, you know, what is it, Tarragona or Jefferson or whatever it is, and then kind of drop down and go north and come back around. Based on, unless I'm misreading it, and I may be misreading, I hope I am, but based on what the map says, it looks like, well, you know what, let me take it back, because I got to ask the mayor, because this map is so, now that I'm looking at it again, I might be thinking exactly the wrong thing, that you will be able to travel Bayfront. What it's got on the map is Bayfront is red all the way from Romana all the way over to Community Maritime Park. But it's hard to tell if that's the street or if that's like the perimeter you can't cross within. So I will definitely talk with the mayor and get clarity on this. The way I heard it was just kind of that intersection. And then I looked at the map and I thought, oh, and nobody asked in the press conference and I wasn't there. So it's my fault because I don't attend the press conference. But in any case, the one thing to know for sure is that you will not be able to go east and west across Palo Fox at Main. They're going to close that down an hour ahead of the actual parade. There are other issues as well. And then how do you get around? Well, you know, you got to go up to Cervantes. Deputy Chief Crispin explained that their answer is to go up A or 9th and go up to Cervantes and go around. So it's really a go around, man.
So those motorists who are trying to just traverse through the city from east to west, the easiest way to do that if you're accustomed to taking Main Street is going to be to go either up 9th Avenue to Cervantes or A Street to Cervantes. Those are wide, you know, big state roads that are easily accessible, easy to follow, easy to get around. So that's going to be the recommended route that we tell people. If you're not trying to get to the parade, you're just trying to get,
right,
you know, from grandma's house to mom's house for, you know, Saturday brunch or whatever, is to take the A Street to Cervantes and Cervantes across.
And, you know, the mayor, one of the things he pointed out is that if you've ever noticed over the last couple of years that at the intersection of Main and Palo Fox, it's always, like, dangerous. At parade time, it's just like there's so many people. And what you've always been able to do is, and especially if you're in the parade, is the vehicles keep going south on Palafox and then turn on Main. But pedestrians who are marchers in the parade, like we march in the parade, you turn right one street before that. And it's just, it's a mess. And they had even put up barricades more recently, like at the corner, so that you couldn't get into the street. I actually agree with this decision. And I think based on what I heard and based on trying to, again, decode this map that is a little bit misleading, I definitely agree that Main and Palafox should be closed off. And I think now, again, looking at it, that you're going to be able to traverse east to west. You just have to go south by one block. The other issue is going to be the amount of what they're calling the box around the parade route that is going to be closed. And by the way, this is going to be true for Saturday morning, again, a week from Saturday, and also Friday night, a week from this Friday. But that box is because of New Orleans. Okay, and concerns about what happened in New Orleans, that the perimeter is going to be expanded by an entire street in the east-west direction, at least.
A second thing is we are actually extending the box from one block to the west from Roos to DeViller Street, and one block to the east, Jefferson to Tarragona Street. So that will the same thing that we're all used to, where you've got kind of that box square area of downtown blocked off for the parade. That will happen 3 hours prior, and we are going extending one block further out east and west. What that means for our citizens is just being attentive to if you used to park somewhere near there, make sure you're there 3 hours before.
Yeah, get there early, and if you're going to be in that vicinity. But the issue here is not as much for just protecting the perimeter from anybody who wants to do, you know, horrible, terrible things with a vehicle. But also, you know, they realized, I guess, that if something does happen inside the parade perimeter, inside the safety area, that basically they don't have a good way to get around with, you know, ambulances and cops and firefighters. So this is creating maneuverability within the area.
Reasoning behind that was through our analysis, what we realized is we didn't have the level of first responder efficient transportation access that we would need in case of an emergency. So what freeing up Jefferson and Roos Street does for us from an emergency responder standpoint is if something were to happen, we have much cleaner access going up and down and that we didn't have before because the square was a little bit too tight.
And that definitely makes sense. Also, the question of getting your car in or out, for those of you who might have businesses or might live in that area, you're going to want to know this.
If you are parked inside that square, obviously there will be slowly, with caution and with police assistance, you know, some ability to get out. But what we're saying with that square is there won't be the ability to get in. You know, that will be a secure line, because people say, well, if I live in here, what does that mean? If I have to go somewhere, certainly we're not. What we mean is there's going to be no through traffic through that normal square. And obviously, if there were someone exiting, you know, somewhere near that, that with police assistance, that's something that is possible. But so, no, you are not, you know, locked in completely. But if you've been to parades in Mobile or you've been to parades in New Orleans, it's a generationally known fact in some areas. It is not out of the realm that you can be living somewhere or in a certain area where that is closed completely during parades. So we aren't trying to be that strict just because New Orleans does it. Certainly we're trying to find that happy medium between convenience and the most important thing.
So we're not having a lockdown zone, but they are having a lockout zone. You might be able to get out if you can find somebody to move the things to get out of your way. You cannot count on being able to get out. You can definitely count on not being able to get in, is what he's getting at. And the last piece of this, like I said, these were all, I found them to be fairly significant changes to what we have done in years past, and that's why we're letting you know pretty early, is be careful where you park in that zone, because you're going to get towed. At least some part. I mean, not. I don't think they mean that the entire zone, but like along the parade route particularly, they're going to tow your car, whereas in the years past, it's kind of been a soft wink, wink, nod, nod. They're not doing that anymore.
One last thing, we said we were going to take more seriously the towing of vehicles prior to the parade. That's something that we're trying to strike that happy medium between an unknowing visitor or resident that's left a vehicle in a parade and the significant threat that leaving an empty vehicle in the middle of our parade route provide. So we said we would be tightening up. I think we told you guys in January we'd be tightening up some of the towing things. We will have no parking signs going up at least 3 days now before the parade along the parade route. And if your vehicle is parked in these spots on the parade day, expect to have it towed if they're not on for the 7 p.m. Friday parade. If it is there by at 5:30, you can expect that it will be towed. And for the Saturday parade, we're shortening the window for the Friday parade because we know people are out working and stuff like that. So we're saying 5:30, an hour and a half before, but 3 hours before on Saturday.
Yeah, cars are going to get towed if they're in that vicinity.
No one can say they can't see the signs. They'll be out days before. But what it used to be before is we may or may not, and we're trying to be courteous. We are not going to have empty vehicles that we can't account for sitting in the middle of 100,000 people. We're just not going to do it.
And I think all of these changes, at least as far as I understand them, like I said, I'm looking for some clarification from the mayor when he gets on this morning at 7:30. But all of these changes make sense to me. They're, you know, reactions to what happened in New Orleans, along with concerns that have clearly been in place for quite some time, you know, just general safety concerns. How do you solve the problem of massive throngs of tens of thousands of people and lots of cars? And, you know, it's always a challenge. A waterfront town is going to have inherent challenges in managing this stuff because you just can't keep going farther south in order to get around. And again, the more I look at this map and the more I try to I just don't know. My question is, can you get through on Cedar Street? That's going to be the question. Can you drop south a block and go like Commandencia down to Cedar and then back up at Balin or something like that? And I think the answer is going to be yes. But then, like I said, it also indicates a kind of weird set of markings on Bayfront and 9th south of Romana way to the east by Admiral Mason Park. So, like I said, we'll talk to the mayor and find out a little bit more detail. But, you know, look, it's parades and big events are great fun. They're also, security safety challenges. And we're trying to figure out what's the best way forward to make this work for everybody and basically not have something happen and then us have to look ourselves in the mirror and ask, did we fail to do something we should have done? You know, you can't make everything 100% safe, but you can take action that makes it more safe. And you just want to make sure that, you know, nothing happens and you look back and say in regret, like, why didn't we do this obvious thing? 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's warmer today, but it's really rainy. It's like 50 out, which is nice. You know, it's not as cold. It's going to be cold later on this week. I mean, I don't understand what's happening with our weather in Pensacola this year. It's not terrible. I mean, we had snow. I mean, that was great. We had the snowpocalypse. If you want to call it Snowmageddon, I won't fight you too much. But that was great, you know, fun. Generally speaking, that was that was basically a good thing. I agree with Meg. That was a good thing. But make up your mind. Just shorts, pants, rain, sun. Just pick one. Make it not rain. that's the more annoying one. But the whole area is covered in rain right now. Everything from New Orleans all the way to, like, the Atlantic, basically. And the storm goes up halfway through Alabama and Georgia. And then there's snow to the north and ice to the north, like, in the northern part of Alabama. So it could be worse. Then again, if you're really eager to see snow again, it's not that far, 4 hours. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places you can't control. Between payroll, your home office, your tax preparer, and the IRS, if your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And just like that, it was gone. I was never getting my own Nintendo. My life was over.
Are you a fan of the Jam, John? Are you a Jam fan?
I mean, I could, you know, tolerate it.
I could tolerate it. Yeah, that's the opposite answer. That's a no. All right, well, the drummer for the Jam, Rick Buckler, has passed away at the age of 69. And, you know, so just, you know, I say the same thing every time, and I mean it every single time, which is when people die that created something that we enjoy or have beauty or satisfaction out of, then I appreciate the fact that they did something that made my life better. And so I, you know, it's sad, but it's also, you know, hey, they did something kind of cool, and the Jam's a great band. 526 News Radio 92.3. We got Steve Taylor this morning in for David Wayne in our newsroom with the headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. The first peace talks between the U.S. and Russia about the war in Ukraine are done. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and other U.S. officials met with the Russian delegation in Saudi Arabia yesterday. Rubio said President Trump is the only one who can, quote, drive the war to a conclusion. However, Ukrainian President Zelensky said Ukraine will not accept a peace deal that is made without his country's involvement. The U.S. Department of Agriculture apparently accidentally fired several agency employees who were working on the government's response to bird flu. Yesterday, a spokesperson at the USDA announced that they're working to swiftly rectify that situation and rescind those terminations. A federal judge is also temporarily halting the firing of 11 intelligence officers. The officers who worked for the CIA and other intelligence agencies had been told to resign or face immediate termination due to their temporary assignments. They were working on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Yesterday, the judge ordered those officers not be fired for at least the next 5 days. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. We've been mentioning, I don't know if this is, I think I was on vacation last week and that's when it first popped up. And then you had Santa Rosa County, you had a conversation pop up about the most dreaded word in public policy conversation, which is tolls on a bridge.
It's a 1960 bridge. It's done its part. It's time for a new bridge. We need more lanes. I've talked to the Sheriff's Department. They're talking about how much trouble they have going across the bridge and coming back if they have a wreck. They can't get across. They can't get back across. Yeah, they can go down all the way to Pensacola. That's a long way. But this right here tells me we wasted a lot of money on this bridge. And I'd appreciate y'all looking at this, see what we can do. Get a new bridge. Right now, I think we need to put a toll back on the old bridge. It shouldn't ever come off. That would help us pay for some of this repair. And if we do get a new bridge, we don't have to put a toll on it. It don't have to be a big toll, but we got to have money coming in to repair it instead of using all the taxpayers' money. We got tourists coming from everywhere. Let them help us pay for this. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, don't put it all on Santa Rosa County people. Let's let the tourists help us pay for it.
So Ray Eddington, who is the county commissioner for District 4, talking about, you know, he thinks, and he's said this before, but now it's even more the case that he's saying, look, we need to reestablish a toll now. This is not just build the bridge and then toll it afterwards. This is toll it now so that you can, the Navarre Beach Bridge, so that you can start accumulating money in the, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, maybe something like that. You're talking anywhere from like 50 cents to $1.50. I think is that the P&J had reported on the proposal. And what they're going to do, or what they're at least looking at doing, is taking $1.5 million that had been assigned out of the design, the PD&E phase, basically to figure out what to do in terms of building the new bridge. Because remember, part of the issue here is going to be, do you just build it on the same exact footprint? Do you make it an extension of Highway 87? directly across the water? Do you bend it? You know, where's the landfall going to be for the new bridge? I mean, you know, you have basically three or so options. And a company came last year and pitched the county, we'll build you the bridge and then we'll charge a toll and we won't even charge you to build it. We'll just recoup the money off of the toll. Of course, what they were going to charge was going to be, you know, higher, you know, more in the like 2, 4, 6, depending on which kind of bridge you build, vicinity to cross it. So we are definitely going to be having a conversation about whether to put a toll booth up at the bridge for toll by plate. We're not talking about people, I wouldn't think. I would be very surprised if you don't wind up having at least a buck or maybe a $2 toll on the Navarre Beach Bridge going forward to start escrowing away money for an eventual bridge. And also fairly likely that you'll have a commissioner voted out of office or two out over it. Because even though it's kind of a rational way to develop user-based funding for a project, nobody wants to pay a toll, myself included, and there may be consequences.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A federal judge has denied a request by state attorneys general to temporarily bar DOJ from ordering mass firings or having access to data at 7 federal agencies.
Judge Chutkan says the attorneys general, citing media reports, did not give the court the facts it needed to issue a temporary restraining order. She added no imminent harm has come to the states listed as plaintiffs.
That's Fox's Grinnell Scott. President Trump and Elon Musk sat down with Fox's Sean Hannity for their first joint interview addressing the big changes they've made to the government.
All we're really trying to do here is restore the will of the people through the president.
Musk also signaling openness to DOJ dividend checks to taxpayers. And today, the Senate expected to confirm Kelly Loeffler as SBA administrator. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 52 degrees with heavy showers in the area. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Last year, Governor Ron DeSantis vetoed more than 600 state arts and culture grants. As a result, the Jazz Society announced it's canceling Pensacola's 43rd annual Jazz Fest, which usually happens in April. Jazz Fest isn't the only event to feel this impact now. Northwest Florida is home to many arts-related events and also festivals like the Greater Gulf Coast Arts Festival, Foo Foo Fest, Jazz Fest, Pensacola Little Theater, and the Pensacola Children's Chorus, among others. Pensacola Children's Chorus Artistic and Executive Director Alex Gartner says now the arts community is scrambling for funding.
At the end of the day, as an arts community, we're all pulling from a very generous and big pool of philanthropy. But without our state funding, I mean, it's been a struggle.
Gardner says the situation is sad because state funding was available for decades. He says he understands the opinion of the state that it shouldn't have to support arts and culture.
The arts are a huge contributor to our economy. We're a big driver for tourism. We're a big driver for people coming into the area. If those go away, if we go away or we diminish, there's an impact that is far more reaching than just not having a jazz festival. It's deeper than that.
The worry is for the community as the organizations shrink and adapt to their funding situations. Fire investigators are back on the scene trying to determine what caused the fire at BGS Marine Sales on Navy Boulevard. More than 20 units responded to that fire in West Pensacola Monday night about 6:15 p.m., causing millions of dollars of damage. The company has a parts department that was unaffected by the flames. The only building impacted was their repair shop. 9 boats were inside the building when the fire erupted. Now they're all a total loss. Other boats on the property were also damaged. Staff members say they are working to be fully operational by today, taking calls and offering mobile repair services. Insurance will likely cover the cost of the damaged boats. As for the facility, they hope to demolish the building and build back better. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a wet start to your day with plenty of heavy showers. High near 55 degrees this afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 32. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 46. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 28 degrees. Keeping mostly sunny skies around with a high on 51 degrees on Friday, dropping near 38 Friday night. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And looking at the News Radio ThreatNet radar, it's based basically wet everywhere from New Orleans all the way to Jacksonville. The heavy showers will continue for a few more hours. 54 in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, and 50 in Milton with rain at 5:08. Next news is 5:30. Actually 5:34. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
The cost of health care is in the news. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program as well as the 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds they now offer. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and the cost of health care. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:37 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. As you heard Steve Taylor mention, it's basically rain everywhere from, well, Louisiana to Jacksonville. So everywhere's raining this morning. Be a little patient. Have a little extra time. And you get to play Puddle or Pothole. Pensacola's favorite game. Is that a puddle or a pothole? Yeah. Don't drive through it. That's not a good way to find out. Joining us yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons about a variety of matters, as we always do on a Tuesday. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm great. We both took a one-week vacation from each other.
Yeah, I was not on vacation. You were actually on vacation.
I was. You were. Yeah. You were in Jacksonville for a sheriff's conference?
Yeah, we have a winter conference and a summer conference. Obviously, we had the winter conference this past week.
A lot of good parties at the sheriff's conference?
We don't do parties at sheriff's conferences.
So no. It's boring. It's not fun.
Well, I mean, it's training. You kind of go over what's taking place in the state and, trying to stay away from the monopolization of the immigration topic that has been going on last couple of weeks.
Anything specific that comes out of that that you feel like sharing or any, you know? I mean, I just figure getting around other law enforcement officials is always like sharpening the sword stuff. Like, that's all just, you know, good for you to learn and see what other people are doing. Them learn from you. You learn from them. And, you know, just get a different perspective on life, right, for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not so much, you know, how to conduct a traffic stop or how to, you know, collect fingerprints or something. It is more that 30,000 foot level where you look at policies and you look at what legislation might be coming down so you can better prepare for those types of changes. And as I've mentioned for the last couple of weeks, we've always worked with our federal partners on getting violent individuals, felons, violent felons. We want to get them off the street, no matter who they are. And if we're aware of any gang members of any type, then obviously we're going to work to get them off the street. So the proposed legislation, we had a long discussion about, and I don't have the jail. Escambia County Sheriff's Office does not run the jail. The Board of County Commissioners run the jail.
You briefly ran the jail.
If you look historically,
as the deputy county administrator, when you were over
Chief
the
corrections officer, right?
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's correct. and the sheriff's office has actually had the control of the jail, and then they gave it up, and then by statute, the Board of County Commissioners has to run the jail, and they can get into an arrangement with the sheriff, and the sheriff would act as also the chief corrections officer. We, at this point in our Escambia County's history, our county commissioners run the jail. But there are some requirements, it looks to be, in this new legislation, some requirements for them to have some individuals trained as warrant service officers so that they can serve these federal warrants,
standards
and such. I don't know if the governor signed it yet, but my understanding is that he certainly will sign it. And then there will start some training for the county jail. Again, I won't speak for them, but I'll simply speak for the sheriff's office and say that we certainly will cooperate with federal authorities and make sure that we get these violent criminals off the street.
It's a little bit of a weird week because, of course, yesterday I talked to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Monday Santa Rosa, Tuesday Escambia County. There were sort of more high-profile incidents in Santa Rosa last week than in Escambia. It's been relatively quiet, but you did have a couple. This goes back a little bit more than a week, but the one that caught my attention was a guy got stabbed at a Super Bowl party?
Yeah.
And he didn't know what happened?
Well, it was a fight. Obviously, a fight escalated and I don't recall the details exactly, but
I think he got stabbed in the neck or something.
Yeah, but it was not life threatening. It was not superficial, so it didn't really stick in my memory.
Okay, all right, I got you. I'm trying to think of what would have produced the fight. Kendrick Lamar is amazing. No, he's not. The Eagles are great. No, I mean, I don't know what would produce a fight of the Super Bowl.
It wouldn't
party,
be the first fight over.
It a, wouldn't be you know, the first a, one a, at a sporting,
Super Bowl or a sporting
drinking
event. Yeah.
Wings, whatever. You also had a shooting, but it's a kind of a low grade one where somebody was grazed at Oakcrest Park maybe about a week or so ago. Is that right?
Yeah, about a week ago we had a ShotSpotter indication that showed 17 gunshots were coming from the area of Oakcrest Park.
Oh, that's a lot. 17 is a lot.
We were able to see some video footage that showed a single person in the park shooting at a passing vehicle. Again, those 17 shots were rung out, and then a house and two vehicles parked in a driveway did sustain some damage. I think a lady was wounded, superficial wounds to her back, obviously non-life threatening. And so we're still looking for information on who did this. So we're working on it. But that happened about
17 shots. One woman was mildly grazed.
Right.
Okay. I mean, good. I mean, I'm glad it's not worse. But also ShotSpotter, we haven't talked about that a lot. It was my understanding that ShotSpotter wasn't alerting very frequently. Has that been the case that there haven't been? I mean, there were a lot in the beginning, and now there haven't been in a while. Or am I wrong about that?
No, it still goes off quite regularly.
All right.
I will tell you, it doesn't
seem still
useful.
As if, still useful.
Yeah, it's still useful. In fact, we're asking for an appropriation to extend it for 2 more years.
Okay.
Because it's really expensive. But if you combine that with our real-time crime center, it's certainly beneficial for us as a law enforcement agency, but also us as a county.
Gotcha. There was also a pretty significant drug seizure, but I think maybe it was the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, FDACS, interdicted a van with 11 bricks of cocaine that had started in El Paso and was headed for South Florida, about $250,000. But you guys, I assume, I don't think you were the arresting, but you were like, something happens and you guys show up to help, right?
Yeah, Department of Agriculture, which I think now is a part of FHB.
The immigration.
They're all together. And they frequently do this interstate interdiction type stuff. Sometimes we're with them, sometimes we are not. And sometimes we do the interstate interdiction on our own because a lot of interstate 10 is it goes through Escambia County. But in this case, the agriculture officer made the stop. We just simply stood by to assist them because, again, they don't have that many officers out there.
Right.
And if we're available to help them, we'll certainly do so.
When you do interstate interdiction, are you looking for speeders, people driving weird, driving suspiciously, driving suspicious vehicles? Are you doing plate readers? Are you looking for particular, like, what is the shape of that? Because you're not stopping vehicles. You're not doing, like, DUI checkpoints or something like that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Not in your state. I understand this one, this differentiate this one. The thought was that this van was of a certain size that should have went through the weigh station.
And
did not, so it passed through that. And that's what I understand the traffic stop was about, although I have not talked to that officer. But typically what we'll do is it's for speeders. You look for speeders or something that's illegal. You don't need checkpoints.
A justifiable reason to pull somebody over.
Yeah. And a lot of times you will work with our state partners and, you know, they may or may not go through the weigh station. We can stop them. There are things that you learn, to look for or be on the lookout for. There's like a bobtail type semi pickup truck with no back on it, right? The thought there is, just to give you an example, they're not making money if they don't have a big cargo type on the back of their vehicle. So
okay.
if it's riding empty, I'll say then there's no reason for that. Usually they'll get their whatever product that they're transporting, and they'll deliver that, and then we'll pick up another one and go somewhere else.
Sure.
That's how the efficiency works. But if you see one without a trailer attached to it, you know, that's one more thing. So, okay, ask that question. What are you doing? Where
Something
are you coming
odd,
from?
Yeah.
Where are you going to? A lot of times you check the paper, the manifest, if you will, and you'll see what they're supposed to be delivering, and just ask them questions.
Hey, I do have a question. I had asked it of Sheriff Johnson yesterday, but get your thoughts on this, because we're entering session for the legislature,
right.
So the chance of them to maybe take up an issue that, you know, gets highlighted in local media perhaps. I am seeing more and more of these electric bicycles everywhere.
Right.
And I think of it because I drive on Burgess, you know, going home, and there's not room for a lot of extra stuff on Burgess on the west side of Davis Highway in Hilburn. But I think of it other places too. We had a wreck the other day where somebody's riding an electric bike south on Highway 29 and ran into a car and got sent to the hospital. I see bikes and electric bikes going the wrong way in the bike lanes, but I see these electric bikes all the time, and they're fast, right? 30, 35 miles an hour. They're a motor vehicle, but you don't have to have a license. And I mean, help me out here. I'm just looking for input. It seems like they are making driving less safe and unsafe for them and me. But is it just my perception, or do you perceive this too? What's the, like, sense of the streets from Sheriff Simmons?
Yeah, you know, as technology continues to advance, these bicycles at least become faster and faster. And, mm-hmm. I don't think that people understand just how fast some of these electric bikes can go, mm-hmm. 30, 35 miles per hour, and probably faster eventually. And to your point, it's like a bicycle. I think they're governed by the same rules as a bicycle because they don't have the motor that's so many CCs.
You don't have to have a license for them and all that. Right, and there's no CCs, right, because it's
battery.
And
some of them aren't wearing helmets.
Right.
And, you know, they should be doing that stuff. So, I mean, there is some enforcement action that can be taken. They're not supposed to be going, you know, against traffic. They're supposed to be going with traffic like bicycles. And I believe they're supposed to be in the far right 3 foot of the lane itself so the vehicular traffic can go around them. You know, if you're asking me if I think they should be looked at, obviously I think that they're gonna have to address that at some point. Just like we did with the golf carts, there's some neighborhoods mm-hmm. that have a lot more golf carts out there, and some are tagged, and some of them are not. And then there's some neighborhoods that can become, you know, golf cart friendly type, or whatever they call themselves, utility vehicle friendly. So I would think that they always will take a look at it. Escambia County cannot be the only county in Northwest Florida, cannot be the only area where this is an issue.
Right. I mean,
there's obviously electric bikes throughout, throughout the state of Florida. So I'm sure they're taking a look at that. I'm not sure if they're going to have to pull that away from the bicycle, the pedal powered bicycle,
mm-hmm.
or if they can just make some changes to all of it. I mean, do we want them on the sidewalk? Probably not. I don't.
Right.
You know, that's where people should be walking, you know, or jogging. So I think that perhaps there might be some issues on speed, just like they did with the motors on a motorcycle.
And one of the other issues, and Sheriff Johnson, I think, pointed this out, if I remember, that, you know, they're silent, right? So it's not like a motorcycle that at least you hear coming, or even a moped or something like that, you hear coming. Then the scooters fall in the same category where it's silent because it's electric. And so that adds a layer of safety concern in terms of pedestrians, drivers, everybody kind of being
bicycles
aware.
Bicycles are silent as well, so I guess.
Way I ride it.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear me screaming, you know I'm coming.
Downhill.
We have fun. That's exactly right. Ring, 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 ring. I really wish I had a.
And I can just visualize you on your bicycle with.
Oh, it's easy to easy to imagine. I'll send you a picture sometime.
You look like Mr. McFeely from with your special deliveries.
Nice. Oh, I saw my first white cruiser. I saw one at Davis and Creighton, and I wasn't fast enough on the draw to get a photo, but I did see one parked outside of Pensacon, and I think they look sharp. And for people, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you first announced it, but maybe just a quick reminder to people, it's not purely aesthetic, although they are in demand and they're nice looking, but the advantages you get from basically not painting them are...
It's each one costs us about, saves us about $2,000 because... Historically, we'd have to paint the front and the back, you know, green, so it's green and white. Then also, we can get them a couple months earlier. You know, there's not this backlog of cars that have to be painted green and white. And like you said, we think they look pretty sharp. So we've got our first about 30, 35 cars in, and so you'll start seeing a lot more of them out there.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Camden County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again in a week, and we'll see you then.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for the next vehicle, trust me, I understand. You know, it's a frustrating process to buy a car. You feel like, you know, you got to figure out which one you want, and then you got to shop for it. And then it's got to be the right one, and then it's got to have the right price. And if it doesn't have the right, you know, it's like, and it's stressful because it's a big disruption in the way you've done things for years getting a new car. Most people... I don't think I've ever met a person that's like, man, I want to go buy a new car. You know, like, no, it's so annoying, the whole process. So at Frontier, they get that. They get that. And what they're trying to do is take away the parts of that process that you hate the most and kind of get it to where it's as easy as it possibly can be so that you kind of don't hate it so much. You know, for example, one of the things about buying, especially if you're buying a used car, is, you know, the worry that you're going to get a good one. Well, they warranty all their cars to 100,000 miles, 10 years, you know, because they want to make sure you have confidence in them because they only sell good quality cars. So that's a check. They'll follow up with you afterwards to make sure that you're happy with it. So that's a check. They've been here and they will continue to be here. And they know the process itself can be frustrating, so they want to make it easy. Hey, all the cars are open in the morning. You can go look around at them. You want to take a drive? No big deal. Whatever. No pressure. No, like, just, hey, here's the bottom line price, you know. It's on a piece of paper. You can look at it with the Carfax. So just designed to make it easy for you and to not feel that anxiety and stress that, I know, buying a used car or a new car can certainly create for you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today.
At 10:30, Asbest Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
If Mr. Bright here told you to vote Republican, would you do it?
No, sir. I don't vote Republican or Democrat. Choosing is a sin, so I always just write in the Lord's name.
So good. Some of my favorite Van Halen from that era, 5150 and 1984. And I know if you have a particular preference for or against David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar, but I do not care. I've come to a conclusion, John. My view of music is that the music you love is going to be whatever the music you were listening to at the end of high school and the beginning of college.
Really?
That's your bell curve. That's your stuff that was right then. You know, that's the albums you were buying. That's when you're hanging out with your friends. That's when you're having all your fun. You didn't have your adult responsibilities yet, and you could afford to buy all the music you wanted. go to your concerts, waste money. Right,
sorry,
yeah.
Napster.
Back then?
Yeah.
Well, you did graduate high school?
93.
They didn't have Napster in 93, did they?
It was close.
Not yet. Close. You're right. Yours close. All right. Yeah. So, but, you know, that's for you. That's the great music. And even, you know, albums that came out by that band, maybe earlier or later, are like, well, I know I'm supposed to like them, but I don't love them the same way. It's not that visceral, grew up on it kind of thing.
And that's so weird because you're right.
Why is that weird?
Because I'm like, I didn't even... I haven't even thought twice about that, but then I'm just thinking about the groups mm-hmm. that I liked back then, Live and all them, and I'm like, yeah, those were the songs that were...
It's what you were... I mean, it's what you're hearing on the radio. It's what you're listening to with friends.
Is this like a session or something?
No,
like,
it's just how the brain works.
I know, but I just feel like I'm in, you know, a therapy session or something.
Steve Taylor is in all week for David Wayne in the newsroom with our headline. Steve?
Well, President Trump is suggesting that Ukraine started the war with Russia. Trump spoke to reporters yesterday after the first round of peace talks held with Russian officials in Saudi Arabia and dismissed some complaints that Ukraine was left out of the negotiations. Trump said Ukraine should never have started it and could have made a deal. Russia invaded Ukraine back in February of 2022. Pope Francis has pneumonia in both of his lungs. The Vatican updated the condition of the 88-year-old yesterday, saying that laboratory tests, chest x-rays, and the Holy Father's clinical condition is continuing to present a complex picture. KFC is moving its headquarters out of Kentucky. The fried chicken company announced it'll be moving its U.S. headquarters out of the home state to relocate in Texas. The owner of KFC Yum Brands says the move is part of a broader plan to have two permanent corporate headquarters, one in California and one in Texas. Well, despite the change, KFC still plans to maintain corporate offices in Louisville. Well, I wonder what Colonel Sanders thinks.
California fried chicken?
Yeah.
Really? We're going to go to the CFC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
No KFC.
Or even TFC. That almost sounds worse. The Texas fried chicken.
Oh, KFC forever.
It's not a knock on Texas, John. Settle down. I know where you're going, Houston
sir.
Boy. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3.
You do that, I'm like, oh, man.
So Trump won the election. He did not get this massive mandate that he keeps claiming, but he did win and has the Senate and barely has the House, especially without some of the people that have been removed or have withdrawn or whatever because of appointments. But, you know, he does the Republican Party or the party of Trump, which is really what it is these days. I don't agree with that, but it is the way it is. It now controls, you know, you could say all three branches, but it certainly controls, you know, the two, okay, the main ones. I am of the opinion that you give the president their people unless there's a really good reason not to. Really good reason not to. And one of the sort of big arguments, of course, was over RFK Jr., who has now been confirmed, right? And yet, in the process of confirmation, he made a promise that he would not change the vaccination schedules because that's one of the things that he's I don't think he's an anti-vaxxer, but I think time will tell what he wants to implement. He's a vaccine questioner, okay? Some people are anti-vaxxers. I don't believe that he is exactly. But now he's saying that they will investigate the vaccine schedules. They will look at all the vaccines and see whether any of them maybe need to be changed, modified, done away with for children. I actually don't mind that approach because anything that's justified will prove itself through investigation. But it is a change from what he promised within the last couple of weeks in order to get confirmation from the Senate. We'll see. Listen on it.